The Bible describes the natural man, the unbelieving person, as an enemy of God. Unless you know Christ, you are an enemy of God. That's what we read in Romans 5:10. Romans 8 tells us that we are hostile towards God. Colossians says we are alienated from God. So the non-believer, the natural man, does not have a relationship with God. So the question comes up with, how then does our relationship with God move from being an enemy to being a son? How does that work if we are by nature children of wrath, at enmity with God? How do we become sons? How does God become our heavenly Father? Or that song that says he's a good, good father. How do we get into that kind of relationship with God? How are we incorporated into God, the family of God? And the answer is this: through an amazing miracle of grace called adoption. Adoption. God adopts us into his family. God adopts his enemies as his children. That is an amazing truth. We see that adoption in throughout the New Testament, that idea, that concept. We've got to realize that we were not worthy to be adopted. We were enemies. So today, for Father's Day, I want to talk about God being our Father and how we're adopted into his family. I'd like to turn our attention to our Heavenly Father, not our earthly fathers today, and how he adopts us, how he chooses us, how we become sons and daughters of God. So I've titled my message, I Am Adopted. You know, some people are ashamed of being, I'm an adopted kid. You don't have to be ashamed of this. This is the good news. Can you say it with me? I am adopted. Do you realize you've been adopted into Christ's family, God's family, if you're a born-again believer? Say it again. I am adopted. You've been chosen. You've been selected by God to be a part of his family. We're going to consider two truths today. We are adopted as sons, and we are included as heirs. They go together. As sons, we are also heirs. Now, there are several passages that talk about adoption. We read two of them already in our scripture reading. And I'm going to focus on the Romans passages, Romans 8. But there's also Galatians 4 and Ephesians 1. This is a consistent theme to the New Testament. We are adopted into God's family. But let's begin in Romans 8, verse 14 and 15. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, we read these verses and we don't realize how fantastic they are. We are unworthy to be considered his sons, yet he includes us. He chooses us. He's chosen to adopt us. Now we can, instead of saying we're angry at God or enmity with God, we can say Abba, Father, like daddy, or like, that's a tender word, like a relational word. We can have a relationship with the very God that we were at once time enemies. So we who are once God's enemies, we who are once alienated from God, we who are once hostile towards God, we who are once excluded from grace are now, by God's mercy, by adoption, we're included instead of excluded. We're adopted. We're loved. We're forgiven. The question comes up, why? Why did God choose to adopt us? Why did God choose to adopt you? No one knows, because none of us deserve it. He surely didn't choose us because of our goodness, because the Bible says there's none good, not even one. None righteous. He didn't choose us because of our attractiveness. He didn't choose us for our potential. He didn't choose us because of our worthiness, because we're all unworthy. It was purely an act of mercy, of grace, of God's goodness and God's love. Listen to this verse. Now, with that concept in mind, that we're enemies of God, listen to this. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. while we were sinners. It's not like, oh, these are good people, I'm going to die for them. We were rotten people. We were alienated people. We were hostile people. When parents choose to adopt a child, they usually have some criteria they're looking for. They have some preferences. They may preference a boy versus a girl, or vice versa. Or a certain age of a child. We don't want one too old. We don't want one too young. Or the health of a child. But God chose, listen now, the least attractive. The last, least lovely. That's us. Am I insulting us? Oh, don't be offended, because in 1 Corinthians 1 it says He chose the weak of the world, the foolish of the world, the despised of the world, the base of the world. God chose the down and outers to become His followers. You know, I'm reminded of a couple, a friend of mine named Rod and his wife Debbie. They live in Oregon. And many years ago, they were on a mission trip to Uzbekistan. U-Z-B-E-C-K-I-S-T-A-N. Uzbekistan, the way I was told to pronounce it. They saw a pitiful little girl on that trip, born without legs. And she was destined, when she got a little older, to become a beggar, or worse, maybe not even survive. And they chose to adopt her. Aaliyah is her name. And I watched that little girl grow up at our church in Oregon. When she was just a baby, she'd be sitting on the floor with no legs. They'd carry her around. Then when she got a little bit bigger, they got artificial limbs for her. And she, you know, walked crazy, but she would always dance to all the worship songs, and it was just a lovely little girl. She's now 30 years old. She grew up, matured, got married, follows Christ, all because somebody had pity on her and adopted her. She had a whole different life. In a similar way, God shows mercy towards us in our lost, pitiful state. He adopts us into His family in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sinful tendencies, and He showers us with His love. Adoption's a big deal. By way of illustration, I'm going to look back at three adoptions in the Bible. This is my whole message, is to look at three snapshots of an adoption, and they're all from the Old Testament. First one is the adoption of Moses. So you don't have to read along, but I'm going to read from chapter 2 of Exodus, verses 1 through 10. Just listen to how Moses is adopted, and we'll talk about it. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could not hide him any longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking along the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him. As he is one of the Gentiles, one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. He became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Isn't that a great story of an adoption, of a little Hebrew boy being adopted into Pharaoh's family? Why did Pharaoh's daughter choose to adopt this little boy? Well, maybe because God was behind it all, right? The sovereignty of God, ultimately, is God saved this little child because he'd someday become the deliverer. But there's a little clue in the passage. Verse 6, it says, she had pity on him. Aren't you glad that God had pity on you and selected you to become part of His family? He adopted you into His royal family. But there's also something stated there. It says, he was beautiful. Aren't all children beautiful? No. Oh, yes? Am I politically incorrect here? They are beautiful. They're beautiful in the eyes of their mother and their fathers. Baby Moses really was beautiful, though. We don't read it just here in Exodus. We read it two times in the New Testament. This was a beautiful child. Listen to Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. Something magnetic about this baby. He must have been especially beautiful. Pharaoh's daughter, she saw that baby, she's attracted to him, and she couldn't resist. Again, aren't you glad that God does not choose us on the basis of our appearance? I mean, there are some beautiful people out there, but there's some of us that aren't so beautiful, and yet God selected us anyway. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's a saying that we've heard before. And when God sees us, he sees the beauty. He sees the potential. Listen to Acts chapter 7, verse 20. It was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God. Lovely in the sight of God. You know, because God loves you, you're beautiful to him. You may not be beautiful to anyone else, but you're beautiful in the sight of God. God's love is not based on external appearance. We've had this verse so many times, you've got it memorized. 1 Samuel 16:6 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, looks on the heart. God knows us better than we know ourselves. It's not by externals, but by internals. We need to learn to look past the outside and see the inside. So there's the first adoption I wanted to look at. The second adoption is that of Esther. Do you guys know the story of Esther? Well, if you don't, you'll learn it next Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to cover the whole book of Esther in one quick message. But let me read to you chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, and read about Esther's adoption. Now, there was at the citadel of Susa a Jew whose name was Mordecai, who had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives who had been exiled with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had exiled. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. Now the young lady was beautiful of form and face, and when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So he adopted this orphaned girl. In Jewish culture, those who are closest in relatives to an orphan were kind of expected to adopt and care for those children, to keep the family together. So Mordecai was this older cousin of Esther. And he took responsibility to care for her and oversee her. We're going to hear about more of that next Sunday. It's quite a fascinating story. But pause for a minute. Is there anything sadder than an orphan? An orphan child, no mom, no dad, no family. It breaks my heart. That's why the Bible says God is a father to the fatherless, to the orphans and widows. Nothing more lonely than an orphan. Yet on the spiritual level, many of us are like orphans. We have no heavenly father because you've not become part of God's family. We are not part of God's family, so we don't have brothers and sisters, so we're alone, lost. The Bible talks about people being like sheep without a shepherd. I can change that to like a child without a father, a children without parents. There's nothing more pitiful than orphans. But God loves us, and he invites us to become part of his family. That's the wonderful news. He invites you to be adopted into his family. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to those he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Children of God. You can become a child of God. You don't have to stay orphaned. You don't have to stay alone. And you won't be orphaned again. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says. Have you trusted Christ? Have you become part of his family? Don't stay an orphan. Don't be alone. Become part of God's family. One more story of adoption, and that's the story of Mephibosheth. We've covered him a couple times in the past year, but it's a great, wonderful story. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. The king said, that's David, Is there yet anyone from the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Saul had passed away, and Jonathan had passed away, and David had become king. He says, is there anyone left of his children or grandchildren that I can take care of? Then Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in Lodabar. The king sent and brought him from the Lodabar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth. He said, here is your servant. David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you. He probably thought he was there to be killed, because usually new kings killed off all the family of the old kings, the previous kings. And he was the last remaining heir to Saul's throne. So he thought, I'm in big trouble being called before the king. Do not fear, for I surely will show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. Again he prostrated himself and says, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? He said, I am not worthy of this, but you're adopting me into your family. Then he called King Saul's servants, Ziba, and said to him, all that belong to Saul and all the house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons shall serve, your servants shall cultivate the land for him, because he's crippled in both feet. And you shall bring the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly. Now listen. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord commands, his servants will do. So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table as one of the king's sons. He just said, you know, I'm going to adopt you in. You are not deserving. I'm going to take you in as my son. Why did David adopt Mephibosheth? Well, he did love Jonathan and wanted to show some respect to him, some honor to him. But simply, David was a merciful man, a kind man, a loving man. That's why he's called a man after God's own heart. Did Mephibosheth deserve this royal treatment? No. Yet David showered him with love and generosity. This story of Mephibosheth is a beautiful picture of our adoption. Let me show you a few comparisons. David took the initiative, and in our adoption, God took the initiative. This boy was helpless and lame, and we are helpless and lame. We're unable to save ourselves. We're unworthy to be called his son. The boy was undeserving, and we are undeserving. David's only motivation was to show kindness toward this boy. And God's motivation to save us was that he might demonstrate his love to his people. David included this boy into his royal family, and God includes us into his royal family. He becomes our father. These become your brothers and sisters. You're part of the family of God, the church. David gave this boy a rich inheritance, and God gives us a rich inheritance too. He promises his eternal life in heaven someday. So let me review. Moses was adopted out of attraction. He was a beautiful child. He couldn't be resisted. Esther was adopted out of obligation. He had no choice but to adopt this girl. But Mephibosheth was adopted only because of a king that loved him. No motivation to get anything back, just purely love. We are not adopted because of our beauty, because of attraction. We are not adopted because God is obligated. We're adopted simply out of God's love and God's mercy. He just chose us to be part of his family. Now, these verses that we've been reading about the adoption are from the book of Romans and Galatians. That's the Roman world. So in the time remaining, I'm going to share with you four conditions of adoption in the Roman culture, and I think they apply to us. Conditions for adoption under Roman law. Number one, the adopted son had to sever all his relationships with his natural family. So if you're going to be adopted into a Roman family, you had to sever all your relationships with your natural family. Aren't we told to leave father and mother and leave everything behind and follow Christ? Number two, the adopted son would lose his own identity, his old name, and all of his obligations and debts would be wiped clean, wiped away. Isn't that what the Bible say, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature? The old things are passed away and all things become new. Number three, the adopted son then took on the whole new identity, a new family, new responsibilities. God gives us a new name. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. God gives us a new identity. And finally, number four, the adopted son becomes the legal heir of his Roman father. And we become the legal heirs. As sons, we become heirs. That's exactly what Christ has done for us. Aren't you glad he adopted you? As unworthy as we are, he adopts us. I am adopted. That was our first point. We are adopted as sons. Second point is we are included as heirs. Heirs. What does that mean? Let's look at Romans 8 once more time. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Adopted children enjoy the Father's blessings in the present. But adopted children also are heirs and enjoy the Father's blessings later, after the Father is gone in the human circle. But we have blessings today, and we have a promise of an inheritance of heaven tomorrow. Children in our present conditions have abundant life, but heirs in their future condition have eternal life. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians verse 8. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. We might inherit spiritual blessings and eternal life. So Christian, if you have Christ in your life, you are no longer alone. That verse a couple times says you have no longer a need to fear, because you're a child of God. You're no longer orphaned. You're no longer poor. You're no longer destitute. That's all the natural man. He's all those things without Christ. What shall I profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? You are adopted sons of God Almighty, and as a result, you are heirs of eternal life. Amen? In natural adoption, human adoption, the child usually has no say in his placement into a home. He doesn't pick the family picks him. But in spiritual adoption, the child does have a say. Yes, Christ chooses us, but we must also choose him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We have a choice in the matter. We can say, no, I don't want to be adopted. Or you can say, yes, I want to be. My life verse is John 15:16. Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit. But they had to answer the call. When Jesus said, follow me, they had to follow Jesus. They had to pick up the cross and follow him. So we have a part in this choice. We must choose to follow him. Only God understands this delicate balance of how God chooses, how God draws, how God calls, and how our part of it is we must somehow respond and say yes. God's will, man's will, working in cooperation. So God initiates, we respond. We love him because he first loved us. He initiated, he first loved us, and we love him. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have a choice. We have to believe in him, trust in him. So that's how I want to close today. I want to ask you, are you part of God's family? Have you been adopted into God's family? Have you chosen? Say, I want to be adopted. I want to be part of your family. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I answer the call. I will follow and trust Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I promise you, if you do, you'll find that he's a good father, our heavenly father. We're going to sing the song in a minute, our good, good father. He's not an evil father. He's a good father that loves you and wants you into his family. But you must respond and choose. come. Let's bow our heads and pray. There may be somebody in this room saying, I want to be adopted into God's family. I want to be part of God's family. I don't want to be on my own anymore. If that's you, would you just look at me and nod? I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come forward. I just want to pray for you. I'm looking to the right side of the room. Anybody saying, I need God as my Heavenly Father? Middle of the room? Any others? Middle of the room? Left side of the room? Say, I'm trusting Jesus today to become my adopted Father. Father, we thank you for those who are calling out to you today. We know that you can hear the silent prayer of their heart. Lord, we want you, we receive you, we choose you. Thank you that you've chosen us and adopted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.